If you'll turn over to Hosea, we'll look over in the Old Testament today, chapter 8. And this is, of course, one of the, prophets of the Old Testament. And we'll look and see what's here this morning, see what the Lord has for us. Something's always... I've heard all my life, and I'm sure you have too, and something that the basis of it, where we get it from, is you sow the wind, you weep the whirlwind, and that's where it comes from. So Hosea chapter 8, and we'll look at the nation of Israel this morning, compare that to where we're at today, national basis, and I don't know, lately it seems like everything's been more on a national basis, and as far as our Sunday school classes go and the world we're living in and how we conduct ourselves in that world. But again, today, the Lord's will, that's what we'll look at and what happened to Israel and what likely happened to any nation that gets away from God. But we'll read all 14 verses there of chapter 8, Lord willing, and then we'll go back and look at those. And again, it won't be before you long. So again, chapter 8 this morning, Hosea. And we'll start verse 1. Think about the soul of the wind, reap the whirlwind. Reap what you sow, my mom always said. I'm sure you've all heard that as well. Of course, before I get started, if you look at this, the way this reads, not only do you reap what you sow, you end up with more than you bargained for. You bit off more than you could chew, so to speak. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Or in other words, they've rebelled. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and of their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For them, for from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles, as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be made unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrificed flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. And if that's correctly reading Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 14, if you'll go back and you'll look at verses 1 through 4, and of course you kind of picked up in the middle of those 14 verses as we looked there, and actually it's in the middle, verse number 7. They have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. And so if you go back and look at the first four verses, and we'll study those just a second, you think about us and this nation as you look there at Israel. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Verse number 4. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and of their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. And what Hosea is saying there is they look to kings for their guidance and their leadership, but not only just for... economically, because it's also talking about their wealth that they had here, but also socially, politically, they looked to kings to guide them and to lead them. They didn't look to God anymore. They put more faith in man. more confidence in man. They put confidence in that they had money, they had wealth, and they were a wealthy nation. And you know, you go back and study through history, there's been a lot of wealthy nations through the years and thought that they didn't need anything else. But they forgot God. And then where are they at today? You remember last week we even talked about Egypt. Where are they at today? And then Mr. Grizzle reminded me, and I might have shared that with you, I can't recall, but he said even after the children of Israel left Egypt, you know, they were told, as far as a nation, they'd be no more. And you think about them today, they don't really have a voice in the world. We hear reports from Egypt, things that happen, but as far as if Egypt stands up and slams their fist on the table, so to speak, nobody really ever listens. It's like they don't have a voice. But one day they did. And that's a lesson for all the, we think of Egypt, we think of the world, and that's a lesson for all the world's nations to look at today. That same thing can happen in the United States. We get too big for our britches, so to speak, where we think that it seems like we head that way, and that's what happened in the nation of Israel here, and that's what Hosea is saying. He said, set the trumpet in thy mouth, or it said, he shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. In other words, he be against the things of God. And you see that a lot today in our nation, just how people think and what they say and how they act to the gospel or even the gospel going out. I was thinking about Brother John's mentioning that revival. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard it. All I've heard is positive about it. But, I mean, I don't know if it, you know, there's some somewhere. There always is. It seems like it's against God's people gathering together. They'd like to try to shut it down if they could. Again, I haven't heard that, haven't seen that anywhere. Seems like everything's moving in the right direction, wanting to add another week. They've got this week here coming up, and maybe even add another week, praying about that. And the way Brother John said, may have to be worried about the eighth or the ninth week, and I hope that's the case. But as the Word of God goes out, as yesterday I noticed, even giving out the Vacation Bible School flyers, I drove a little and tried to, you know, keep one foot on the brake. Of course, that's all I've got, you know, and I get tickled about that and keep one on the gas. You know, used to, that's what you did. Now, I told Kim, I said, I just don't want to get confused between watching the gas and the brake. She said, no, you'll run over us. And she started laughing. And I said, yeah, I don't want that to happen. But that's what happens sometimes. We get out in this world and we get going too fast and we get confused between the gas and the brake sometimes. And that's what happened to Israel here. They looked to the kings, looked to the people who put in power to deliver them. We were talking also this morning about these tariffs that's coming. And I said, well, you think that would really help the American worker? And they said, the comment was made then, said, I don't know. Said, it's been so long. We've been so long down that road of credit that we owe. Can we pay it off now? In other words, what's it going to cost this nation to cut some ties? And maybe be more in favor of the American people or American jobs and workers. I'm just, you know, we put so much confidence where we're going with that in what can the leaders do. Confidence should be in God and God's man. And so as we look here, that's what Israel had done. And that's why God, if you'll notice there in verse number 1 through 4, he begins to set up and explain why Israel has to go back into captivity. And he begins to explain that through the rest of the chapter. And there's going to be some trials, there's going to be some tribulations. In other words, he's going to get their attention. You know, I told you my mom used to pull my ear, and she'd jerk your head around by that ear. You do that today, and social services would be called, and they'll put you in jail and everything else. But back then, that's what my mom did. It didn't matter if your ear was red. You'd think she was going to pull it off. The way she'd get a hold of it and turn my head. And the thing is, she was able to get my brother with one hand and get me with the other. And sometimes I'd think, well, she's right-handed, so I want to make sure she gets me with the left, but it seemed like it hurt just as bad. So, but she jerked my head around, so to speak. And that's what he's doing with Israel. Sometimes you wonder if that's what's happened to our nation, our country. And we've got our head jerked around, but then we kind of got a reprieve, or we got away, or we got loose, or we not really shook loose, so to speak, but we, you know, straightened out for a little while, but then went back into our old ways. And see, that can be applied to us too as individuals. Sometimes, you know, God has to chasten us, get us straight again, get us back on the path he wants us on. But as we stop and look around, we start looking at what's around us just like Israel did there. And they said, well, we've got all this money. We've got these leaders. We're in good shape. So as we begin to look here and see, verse number 5 is when he gets down and he reminds them. He said, okay, you reap the wind, you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. Let's remind you some things. And said, verse number 4, then I'll go to 5, because verse number 4 sets that up and really starts talking about the rebellion of the nation of Israel. They have set up kings, but not by me. In other words, God didn't put them there. That's who they wanted. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. The main thing that they worshipped here was golden calves and idols they made. Verse number 5, thy calf, if we look there and see, a golden image, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled. In other words, aroused. God's anger is stirred up against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? In other words, how long before God says, you know what you're doing? And you go back and you think about, recall their names, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, the sons of Solomon. Remember, the nation was split. One took two tribes, the other one took 10. One was Judah, one was Israel. They both tried to pull the one that had Jerusalem. Here, I forget now. I'd have to go back and look, but might have been Jeroboam. I'd have to think J&J. For some reason, that's going in my mind. But either case, they each tried to get the peoples to stay in their lands, and so they set up false idols, false gods, false worship. What they wanted to do was make everything convenient. They didn't want anyone traveling to Jerusalem. And if they did travel to Jerusalem, they wanted them to worship what they wanted them to worship. They didn't want them to worship God. And so what they did, they set up those groves you've heard about, where many altars are set up and images, things to worship. You know, do we have a lot of groves in our lives, altars set up, things that we may not think that you would bow down and worship, so to speak, but where do we spend the majority of our time? Think about our nation and where do we spend the majority of our time as a nation, as a whole? Do we spend it on our knees in prayer? It's good to hear. And again, the reports we've been hearing from people that's been going to the revival and from pastor and talking about the people praying before, during the day for 24 hours ahead of time. And if they're set up to pray, people go outside the tent and pray during the preaching. They pray what's going on. That's one of the announcements going to be this morning, prayer before the service. And so that evidently is not what Israel was doing. And they were worshiping, but worshiping the wrong thing. And that's what God's pointing out here to them. And that's why he brings up those calves again. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against him. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also the workmen made it. In other words, it's not anything they just stumbled across or somebody forced them to worship. They did it with their own hands. Put it together themselves. They're guilty. And, you know, I think about that a lot of times. You know, as Christians, as we stand before God, and, you know, what's going to be pointed out in our lives as individuals, things that we didn't do or could have done. What was it, Pastor? I guess it was last week. He said to those that know to do it or know to do good and do it not, it's sin. And, you know, that's over in James. And you stop and you think about that. Is that what he's saying to the nation of Israel here? He said, you made these idols out of your own hand, out of your own silver and gold. That's what you worship now. You don't have a God. You don't worship me. So my anger is about to be kindled, what he says. He said, you're about to get me stirred up. And, you know, who can stand against an angry God? You think about that. And you think about the wind and the whirlwind. And I tell you guys, I guess not frequently, but especially this time of year, I bring up tornadoes. You guys didn't have a lot down here, but West Tennessee, you know, we'd have our share. Not as many as they have now. They have more now than they did when I grew up. But, we would see one on occasionally because it occur in the afternoon. And, you know, it might be every 2 or 3 years you'd see one, but you'd have them occur at night or they'd be other side of town or something. But you could see the destruction and how quickly they were. And I remember somebody asked me, he said, had you rather have a hurricane, because Hurricane Harvey, or a tornado? And I said, well, a hurricane any day. I said, just because they know it's coming and you can get out or you can take shelter or whatever. I said, tornado or whirlwind, as we think, it's sudden. I remember growing up, they just drop out of the sky. Yeah, you might, you see, the sky would look odd. It would look funny, kind of have a gray, blackish appearance to it. So you knew something was wrong. And see, that's kind of here with Israel. They had these golden images, silver and gold, and they were worshiping idols, and they weren't going up to Jerusalem, or if they did go to Jerusalem, they'd go by these groves they'd built to worship. You could tell something was wrong, just wasn't right. But things continued on as they normally did. So they thought, well, nothing's going to change. But of course, we get to verse 7 here. God tells them different. Well, that's the same way as I was describing back home growing up. It would be an odd day. You think, well, it might rain, but it's going to be the same as any other day. And then out of the blue, you'd have a tornado drop down out of a cloud, and there it'd be on the ground. Then it'd go back up, and it'd move, or go wherever, stay on the ground for 3 or 4 miles. You just never knew. But how quick and how sudden the destruction was. And as you read here, and as we look, and as Hosea points that out, I think that's why the whirlwind's used. Because it's sudden, destructive, and it's there and it's gone. And really within a blink of an eye. And he said, well, we've got all the weather now and all the weather patterns, and they can look and they can see the circulation of the winds. And, you know, if it's purple on the news, you know that's a bad storm coming in red, and it's got hail in the storm and all. Yeah, they can do all that, but how many of those do they miss? How many times do they say, well, we just didn't see that showing up, and it's already hit and gone before then they start reporting it? And I'm not getting on the weather, but what I'm saying is how sudden, how swift that destruction is. And that's what Hosea's pointing out here to the children of Israel. He goes through and he says, here's what's got you into trouble. You've looked at things that God's saying that I didn't set up. You didn't look to me. And then he says, as we look down through here, he says, this is what's going to get you back into captivity. This is what's caused your problems. This is false worship. And the thing is, you can't blame it on anybody other than yourself, because your workman's hands made it. You did it. That's right. And you know, that's like I told you, and I won't go into the whole story, but you know, Chad and I, my brother, did all kinds of things, and we'd get in trouble over stuff, and we'd be standing there, I guess, with more or less with our hands dirty, so to speak. We got caught with whatever we were doing, and there was no need to try to blame it on it. We couldn't point at the neighbors. Well, that's no, you remember, that's those other boys up the road there, about 2 miles. In other words, it was by our own hand that we got in trouble, that my dad had to chastise us. My mom had to jerk her ears around. It's what we did. So think about that in our lives, too. It's so easy for us to want to blame somebody else. You think, who was that? We heard preaching, Adam started blaming Eve early on. And yeah, that's right. And since then, all man's wanted to do, and woman, but I say man, I mean in general, when we all want to look somebody else other than ourselves as the problem. And so think about that on a national level as well. I got to watch my time this morning. We're moving on. I not say that because I'm rushing, but again, I want to be mindful of again, some things that want to be accomplished this morning. So be mindful of that. I saw my notes. So let's move on. So verse number 6, for from Israel was it also the workman made it. We talked about that. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. So in other words, God's not going anywhere. He should remain the same. But it's those golden images that's going to be broken. Of course, we two Sundays ago talked about that image Nebuchadnezzar saw in a dream, Daniel interpreted, and talked about how those Gentile nations are going to be broken to pieces. And just thank God that he was allowed the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, because we're going to see here, of course, that's us. We're going to see here, though, how Israel's going to be brought into captivity, but how they're going to be brought back around, but what they're going to have to go through. So in verses number 7, as we've kind of been our focus, in verse number 8, let's look at where Israel is today. And so, for they have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal, if so be it yield. The stranger shall swallow it up. So if we look there at verse number 7, as we begin to talk about it just from a national standpoint, they've been spread all over the world. Yeah, there's an Israel nation now. But think of where all the Jewish people live. You know, New York's got one of the highest populations of Jews, New York City, in the world. I'm told Baltimore, Maryland does. I'm told out on the West Coast, you get up around Seattle, Washington, a lot of the business areas, a lot of high concentration of Jews, a lot of, I guess, your larger cities on each coast high concentration of Jews, and they don't all live in Israel. They've been scattered. So we talk about the whirlwind as a punishment and swift destruction, but also it can be used to scatter things. You know, my brother, when a tornado, I guess, hit Jackson, Tennessee back, 2004, 2005, sometime like that. They found things in their yard that you know, came from, 12, 15 miles away. I remember when I was a boy, a tornado came through our town, hit the bank. And, of course, back then, nothing was ATM. We never heard of ATM, so everything was still checks. And they found, that was in Huntington, Tennessee, outside Memphis, about 70 miles. And they found checks from the bank in Fairview, Tennessee, which, you know anything about Tennessee, you may not, Fairview's a real small town, but it's outside Franklin, Tennessee, which at that time wasn't as big as they are today, but that's south of Nashville. So they found paper checks. It was about 120, 25 miles away, and they were just dropped on the ground. So in other words, they were scattered like seed, spread out. So you think about the nation of Israel. That's one of their, as far as God was concerned, that was not only led them into captivity, but he scattered them around the world. In other words, they had no home, had no nation. Verse number 7, for they have sown to the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind, and hath no stalk. In other words, it has no no place to be, has no bud. In other words, there's no nation. As we begin to look, the bud shall yield no meal. Of course, if it has no bud and has no stalk, it's not going to yield anything. If so be it yield, the strangers will swallow it up. And if it does yield anything, the strangers will take it. In other words, there's referring to their enemies. They'll take anything they've got. In other words, there'll always be a struggle for the nation of Israel, at least for a while. Remember, we talked about the Philistines in the Old Testament, and we talked about the lineage and the Edomites and different ones, and we mentioned the Philistines, and you get that thinking about the kind of people they were. You can see how they were an enemy. Of course, they were an enemy to Israel, but how they would just probably just torment them, and how they could be used to do that, because just in their mindset, it was to take everything everybody else has got. They were very warlike. They wouldn't farm, and we've mentioned that before. So think about that here. If they did have anything, or anything did yield any fruit, or did bud, or any meal, people like the Philistines would come in and take it, and God would allow that to happen. And you think about here in our nation, people go back to our country, we're surrounded by waters, Atlantic, Pacific, on east and the west, and then we've got Canada to the north and Mexico to the south. So, no one's ever going to get over here. What's the chances somebody get? You hear people sometimes say that. So everything's always occurred in Europe and Asia. Hey, it's not impossible. You got to stop and think about that. And as a nation begins to forget God and get away from the things of God, anything's possible. Yeah, that's right. You go back and you look during World War II, those German U-boats are right off the coast. That's one thing I like about these history channels and things you get now. They'll be searching for a sunken U-boat, it'll say South Carolina. And I'll say, well, I must have read that wrong. And I'll wait and let it advertise, come back on, and it'll go across the bottom of the screen again and say, well, we're back in South Carolina looking for that sunken German U-boat. And I'm like, South Carolina, what's it doing there? And begin to realize they were a whole lot closer than what we thought, a whole lot closer than what the nation knew. And, they found at the Smithsonian, I believe, you can see an intact Japanese Zero plane. And I thought, now, where did they get that at? And they had the hardest time capturing one. Because, they blow them up or crash them or, drive them till the wheels fall off, so to speak, I guess, those Japanese would. And it was just hard to get one. And the one they got crash landed in the United States, somewhere up around Washington, right on the Canadian border. That's where they ended up getting it from. And I thought, boy, they were right there. And they tell you that in the little story and how they got that. And what I say is, mean for that is, don't put too much confidence, as Israel did, in the people they've got in charge, or by their own hands, or by their own work. Because, as it points out here, it's not God that's going to be broken into pieces. It's going to be that calf in Samaria. It's going to be those idols. It's going to be whatever they're worshiping. So let's go on down. We'll move on. So Israel today is scattered. As a nation in general, we know Israel's there, and Mr. Grills and I have talked before that if you look at their numbers, Jewish people are slowly moving back to Israel, almost like they're being called home. They're going back home. And we'd mentioned about how they're trained to fight, from an early age. And I was talking to someone in the military that trained over there, and I'd seen them not long ago, and I mentioned to you guys, just kind of bring that together, where the gentleman was an Englishman, and he talked about how they trained them. And he said the difference with, the Israel, nation of Israel and the Jewish people, they're fighting for existence. He said, so they'll fight a lot harder. He said, that's why those other countries are a little skittish of them. He said, they get tough and they've got backing of a larger nation. The other Arab countries do, or four or five of them together, then they'll want to jump on Israel, but they leave them alone when it's independent to each other. And, you think about that, that's allowing time for God to gather those Jewish people back in Israel. And as the numbers grow, so you go look at that sometime, you'll see population of Israel steadily goes up percentages each year, people moving back. So anyway, let's continue on, and just for a few more minutes here. So verses 7 and 8, we'll finish 8. Israel is swallowed up now. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles, which they are, which we see, that's what we've just been talking about, as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Verse number 9 and 10, we'll go verses number, as you look at 9, 10, and 11. Let's read those first. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers, yea, though they have hired among the nations. Now will I gather them, they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. Verses 9, 10, and 11, just as you read that, and I think it's very applicable to us today, religion was their downfall. And I think that's what that's referring to. Not true worship, because they had a religion. It was an idol worship. Buddhism, they call that, that's a religion. You go over in China or other places, Asian countries, they worship Buddha, and to them that's a religion. Go over to India, different Hindus, that's a religion as well. I remember being in the hospital down there in MD Anderson. They had a sheet they'd give you, and you'd check off the boxes, and they'd have Catholicism or Catholic, and then Baptist, Presbyterian, Hindu, Buddhist. In other words, they had a list of religions, and you put a check box by all of them if you wanted to, or none of them, or you put Baptist, whatever you wanted to. And I think what he's pointing out here, Hosea, is what led to their downfall. It goes back and summarizes verses 1 through 4. They had kings that God didn't put in place. They worshiped golden idols, silver idols. They made them with their own hands. They had no excuse, and religion was their downfall. They went out among other peoples, and they worshiped as they worshiped and forgot about the things of God. I might have told you guys, I was been admitted one time, and pastor was down there, and that young lady brought a computer in, and she was sitting there, and she was typing in the computer, and she got to that religious question, and she said, all right, but I'd already checked off, Baptist before, and she said, okay, she'd got to that, and what she got to, she said, oh, okay, right here, I need to put, would you like to see one of our ministers, or the reverend, or somebody? I said, no, I brought mine with me, and I didn't realize at the time, she typed that in, brought his own, and that's what it said across there. So for those 7 or 8 days I was in the hospital, other nurses, they'd laugh and mention that. They'd say, and I don't know if they was thinking it was something I brought and I sat in the room, but there'd sit Pastor Rick. He'd be sitting over there, in the corner in that chair, or he'd be coming in. I'd say, there he is. I brought him with me. There he is. I brought him with me. In other words, brought his own pastor. And that's what she typed in, but she put brought his own. She didn't put on what. But so it was checked off Baptist that brought his own. And she's like, she never missed a beat with that. So that led me to think, and I told the pastor that no telling what people must bring sometimes, because if that's how she typed that out. But that's what he's talking about here. Verses 9, 10, and 11, they brought their own, and it wasn't of God. And we'll wrap it up here, and we'll get down to the last three verses, verses 12 through 14. We'll read 11 again to kind of tie it in. But you got to know God's law. You got to know God's way. And that's what Hosea is saying here. Forget about ceremony. And forget about what looks good. I'm sure that they probably had those groves in a way that were attractive and pulled people in to go worship. And And where they had them set up, I've seen photos of that before, where they thought they looked, or sketches, and where they have the idols and many idols. When I say many, small ones and large ones, for people to bow and worship. But there's no substitute for God. And that's what they did. So let's look here in verses, again, we'll do read verse number 11, but to 12, 13, 14, and think about those, the ceremony and the substitute for God. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, many religions. Altars shall be unto him to sin. In other words, they went about it for sinning. They knew what they were doing. For I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. In other words, God's way is the only way. And what the people did here is, as you see, they were counted as a strange thing. They chose not to go God's way. They sacrificed flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. Here's the ceremony. But the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt and back out into the world. In other words, they'll go back into captivity once again. Verse number 14, for Israel hath forgotten his maker. There's no substitute for God. And buildeth temples, and Judah had multiplied fenced cities. But, that little three-letter word, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. And you know, I find as I read that and we studying palaces thereof, it started off with kings and princes. Where do they live? They live in palaces. Now, that's not saying live in nice places, but what I'm saying is how the first verse or two there is tied in with the end of where all this began, setting up kings and leaders and worshiping, I guess, idols and the things that are not God that shouldn't be worshiping. And he says those palaces or those habitations, God said he'd send fire from heaven to burn them. That's right. So that's reading this morning, studying, hopefully got something out of it, and what the Lord showed us in Hosea chapter 8. Not only the nation of Israel, we can go back and look and we can see. And again, we've said that before, and I'm borrowing that from somebody else, that we live in one of the best times to live in. We can go back and look and see what's occurring and how a lot of, I guess, prophecy is unfolded in our time. We can look at the nation of Israel, what's happened, where they're at today. But we can also look at our nation, our country, but then put it down on our level, and how are we living? Have we gotten away from God? Do we have false idols set up? What do we worship each day? Where do we spend our time? Is there a substitute? Do we have a substitute for God? Is there something that we're doing that's just a ceremony? It's just steps. It's just a checkbox. And that's what God's reminding them here, that, or Hosea is, that God says, you need to get away from that. If not, I'll get you out of it. And God's anger will be kindled. And anyway, that's what we've got this morning.